lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Christ, Christos, the Anointed One. The Redeemer. As we look at the word Christos, it means more than just one who came into this world. It means one who came into this world to seek and to save those who are lost. It means Jesus Christ. He is the Anointed One of God. And we've looked at this, and we saw last time how that Jesus Christ is a prophet, he's a priest, and he's a king. And we know that one of these days he is coming back, and he's going to rule this earth with a rod of iron. In other words, he's not coming back as that little baby is born and laid in that manger. He's coming back as one who is going to rule. He's going to see that everything is done properly in this world. We need him today. And if you've never trusted him as your Savior, you need him right now as your Savior. You need to ask him into your heart. Well, we've seen how the Lord Jesus Christ is a prophet. He's a king, and he's a priest. But notice now, we're going to look at certain areas that describe him once again as a king. Christ as the king, as a king. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." The wise men came to worship the king. They came to worship Jesus Christ. And you see, Jesus Christ accepted the title because he is king. Matthew 27, verse 11, it says, "And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest." Well, is there a kingdom of God without a king? Well, the answer is no, of course. Jesus is that king. He is the king. The Old Testament prophets saw him as king. They saw him as a ruler. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Well, he's not only a king, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. There is no doubt of that. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14 says, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords." Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Now, before he comes back as King of kings and Lord of lords on this earth, he's coming back for us who know him as Savior. He's coming back and he's going to say, "Come up hither," and we're going to go up and meet him in the air. And we have everything to be thankful for today as saved people. Not only is Christ, not only did he give us eternal life, but we have so much to look forward to. It's exciting to think that even in death, he comes for us. And even in the rapture, he comes for us. And we're going to see him as he is. And then we're going to be like him because, once again, we're going to receive a body fashioned like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What kind of a body is that? It's an eternal body, a body that will never be destroyed. We're going to live forever with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we've seen several things about the Lord now as he came into this world, prophet, priest, king, the Anointed One, the Savior, the Redeemer. We're going to look further into the word Messiah now. Well, when did Christ become the Messiah? Yeah, we've heard this. You know, the Jews call him Messiah. We can call him Messiah as well, because Christ became the Messiah when he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. You see, we often overlook the fact that Christ was not the Messiah or the Savior, the Redeemer, until after he shed his blood. His death on the cross, that meant that he was the Messiah at that point. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Nobody goes to heaven without the shedding of blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus must shed his blood, and he did on the cross of Calvary. And I often think of this, how that his blood was being shed as he was beaten with the cat of nine tails. That's the whip that he was beaten with before he went to the cross. He was marred as no man has ever been marred before. That means he was beaten, he was mistreated, and I believe he was bleeding all the way up the hill of Golgotha, and he hung on that cross, and his blood came out. He was shedding his blood for you and I, people of this world, if we would only trust him. And I have trusted him, and I pray that you have trusted him as well. If not, trust him today. Ask him into your heart. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12 says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." I believe when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, he went back to the Heavenly Father and presented the blood according to what the Word of God says. He presented his blood as the only way for a person to go to heaven, and that was through his shed blood. Hebrews 9:22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." That means without the shedding of Christ's blood, there would be no remission of sin. The sin would not be done away with. It would be as if it were just as like it was as we read in the Old Testament, how the blood of bulls and goats was shed, and it only covered the sin. It did not take it away. That's the reason Jesus Christ came. He came to take away sin from the people of this world. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12 says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. There's so many verses. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." We have so much to be thankful for today. We have to be thankful for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he first loved us and he gave his life for us that you and I could be saved and on our way to heaven. Well, Christ became the Messiah when he shed his blood. Well, for whom does Christ become the Messiah? Christ becomes the Messiah to those who receive him. John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Now, I'd like for you to notice this word. Notice the word grace. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." And then Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul the Apostle said, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." Would you notice the song? And don't get worried, I'm not going to sing. I'm just going to read the verses to you. Notice the song, "Grace Greater Than Our Sin." It says, "Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was shed." Now that song, I've changed that word around there in that song, because In that verse, it says, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Well, the blood of the Lamb was not spilled, it was shed. When Christ gave his blood for our redemption, it was no accident, as the word spilled implies. His blood was shed, given, it was given willingly and purposely. He was without spot, without blemish. There was no sin. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Well, notice the course of the song of grace greater than our sin. It says, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Some people believe they've done so many bad things in their lives that they cannot be saved, but God's grace is greater than any sin. God's grace is greater than all the sin in the world if a person would simply accept the grace of God by trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'd like for you to notice, as we're thinking about this, notice the word many. It doesn't say all. It says many. Notice this. Mark chapter 14 and verse 24, and he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. The word many, those who will call upon him and receive what he did for them by shedding his blood. Now, the word whosoever appears in several verses that we read of in the Bible, in the Old Testament and New Testament. Joel chapter 2 and verse 32, it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. That means saved. Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we often think that Romans 10:13 is the only place that that word whosoever appears for people to be saved, but it's in many verses, Joel chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, and so forth. And then Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever does not exclude anyone. However, there is a stipulation. People, the whosoever, the person, must call on, must ask Jesus to save, to forgive him or her of sin, to cleanse from all unrighteousness, and they must accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Well, Jesus loves each one of us, and he wants everyone to go to heaven. And the only way a person goes to heaven is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I say this quite often, if you die right now without Jesus Christ, you will go to a devil's hell. I say a devil's hell because hell was created for the devil and his angels according to the Word of God. Hell was not created for you as a human being, but it's sad that you will go there unless you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. Jesus Christ says, if you want to go to heaven and stay out of hell, you must trust me as your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Remember, we read that, how that he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. He became the Messiah when he shed his blood, and his blood is the way we go to heaven, by trusting him, by receiving what he said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Do you know him today as your Savior? If not, you need to bow your head right now, bow your heart to him, and ask him to come into your heart. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I can't save myself. Lord, I want to go to heaven. Please save me so that I can go to heaven. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for me on the cross of Calvary, and I receive you right now as my Lord and Savior. You rose from the dead, Lord, and I'm trusting you for eternal life.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.